Twilight by Tuesday Love Sang Rampa, read for you by Blue Friend in beautiful B.C. Chapter 2. Perhaps it would be better not to give his name. Let me instead say, a gentleman wrote to me. I've read some of your advertisements in your novels, saying as how you'll answer any question on any subject free of charge. Well, okay, that's fine by me. I've paid hundreds of dollars to people who advertised that they would answer questions, but they've never given me a satisfactory answer. But you're begging people to write to you, so what have I got to lose? Well, I thought to myself, this poor fellow makes a lot of mistakes, doesn't he? In the first case, I have never written a novel in my life. A novel is fiction. I write only truth and nothing but the truth. And then he says that I advertise that I will answer questions on any subject free of charge. Well, that's news to me. I thought I did my best to discourage idle letter writing, and never in my life have I said I would answer any question on any subject free of charge or otherwise. I know my own subjects, and I pride myself that I know them quite well, and I can answer such questions. Unfortunately, like this particular man, people write to me thinking that I'm delighted to pay the cost of typing, postage, cost of stationery, and all that. They never think of reimbursing for one's expenses. One might almost call them cheapskates. Yes, it's perfectly true, though. There are certain people, fake seers, who advertise that for a few dollars or a few hundred dollars, they will answer questions. Pity I don't do something like that. It might cut down on the volume of silly questions. But as this man writes questions on a subject which will come to the forefront in the near future, it might be worth looking into the matter. Now, this is what he says, in substance, of course, because his letter is no literate work at all. The way he writes, he might never have been to school. He says, in effect, a lot of people think there may be a world inside this world. The world may be hollow. What have you got to say about that? You claim to know a lot about religion. How come you never mentioned such a thing? How come no religious book ever mentions such a thing? Well, he is wrong enough, because the religion or belief in which I am most informed, which is Buddhism, does indeed refer to an inner world. There is a special word for it. It's called agartha. It is a word very frequently used in Buddhist scripture. In fact, in Tibetan lore, there is much mention made of Shambhala, where the king of all the world lives, the king who is hidden from the millions on the surface of the world. Tibetans firmly believe in the king of the world living inside the world, not as some sort of demon, but as an extremely good king, a good spiritual ruler, who is alive in two planes at once, the physical plane, where he lives forever and ever, and the spiritual or astral plane, where he similarly lives forever and ever. Tibetans believe that the king of the world gave his first instructions to the first Dalai Lama, and the Dalai Lama was, in fact, the outer world representative of the inner world king. Certainly, There are tunnels in Tibet which go deeper and deeper and deeper, and there are many legends about strange people coming up through those tunnels and holding converse with lamas of high degree. As I have written in some of my books, I have been in some of those tunnels, and I have also been in some of those tunnels in Ultima Thule. There are certain places in the earth where it is possible for the initiate to travel down into the center of the earth and meet representatives of that inner civilization. And among quite a number of people, there is a definite knowledge that people from the inner world do come out to converse with those on the surface. Actually, of course, some of the UFOs come from this inner world. There are, then, tunnels from Tibet to the inner world and tunnels from Brazil to the inner world. Brazil and Tibet are two vitally important parts of the outer world, which have a special attraction for the inner people. It is a most unfortunate thing that there are so many superstitious beliefs which have never been properly investigated, because it is known to a few sensitives that there is a tunnel beneath the greater pyramids. Now, by pyramid, I'm not referring exclusively to the pyramids in Egypt. There are many more than that. All these pyramids used to be marker beacons, sending messages to the gardeners of the earth and their representatives who traverse space in their spaceships. There are pyramids in Egypt and in certain parts of South America. Also, there are very important pyramids in the Gobi Desert. But the Gobi Desert, being controlled by Communist China nowadays, not so much is known about that to the outside world. All these pyramids are connected to the inner world, and in the days of the pharaohs, many of the magical rites of Egypt were conducted by people who came up out of their inner world specifically for that purpose. But to get back to basics again, according to the Buddhist religious books, there were vast convulsions upon the earth, and the climates of the countries of the earth changed and changed and changed. And as they changed, tribes of people were driven from cold zones into warmer zones. And during one such excursion about 25,000 years ago, a tribe of people emerged on what would now be called the North Pole. They kept on walking and walking, and eventually they found that they had the sun always ahead of them, never behind them, never rising or setting. Eventually, in course of time, they found that they were inside the earth. They found that the earth was hollow, and they settled there. It is thought, too, I should put this in brackets, that all the gypsies came from inside the earth. I have heard many people discussing a hollow earth, and the opponents of the theories always say, well, if there is a hollow earth, how is it that commercial airlines which fly over the North Pole do not see the opening? Commercial planes nowadays do indeed fly over the North Pole, and perhaps the South Pole too. And if there were a big opening in the earth, then obviously the pilots would see such an opening. That is not true, you know. Commercial airlines do not fly over the North Pole, nor do they fly over the South Pole. They fly quite a distance away for the simple reason that if they did, indeed, fly over the poles, it would interfere very seriously with their navigational instruments, and so commercial flights are always routed so that the mythical North or South Pole is avoided by many, many miles, and thus interference with the compasses also is obviated. Then there are others who say, well, all these explorers who've been to the North or South Pole, if there had been a hole in the earth, they would have found that hole. But then again, no, it's not true. No one has been to the North Pole, no one has been to the South Pole. We get reports of people who have got somewhere near such and such a pole and have gone on for many miles. In other words, they have been more or less lost. Ancient history, and modern history too, teaches us that often sailors will spot debris floating around the poles, and I'm using poles just to conform and make the location obvious. There are also floating animals or birds. Now everyone knows that you don't get birds and insects flying at the North or South Pole. You don't get green leaves floating, so where do they come from? From inside the earth, of course. I believe this. Supposing one had a vehicle and one could journey from here, wherever you are at the moment is here, to the North Pole, you would go on and on and on. You would reach what you believe to be the location of the North Pole, and then you would continue on, and eventually you would find yourself with a different sort of sun above you. The sun being an atomic sort of thing, occurring naturally, not merely in the center of this earth, but in many other worlds as well. Astronomers have found that on the moon, for instance, there are strange lights seen at times about the poles. You might say, oh yes, but men have been to the moon. Well, sure they have. But they have been to a very limited spot on the moon, a spot, a circle of about 5 miles radius. Oh no, they haven't explored the moon, and they haven't explored this earth. There's quite a lot of this earth which still has yet to be explored. If you are interested, and if you go to your public library, I'm sure you can find many books dealing with an inner earth and stories of people who have been lost and then have sailed on into a strange world, and eventually they've found themselves just inside the inner world. Better than the library, buy some books at a good bookstore. People have asked me to explain whatever such a world could look like. How can there be a world which is hollow inside? The best way I can explain it is like this. Imagine you have a coconut. The outside of the coconut is the outer earth. And remember this, that if your hands are hot, the moisture which you have deposited on the outside of the coconut is merely touching it, is equal to the depth of the deepest sea on this, the full-sized earth. That's a thought worth bearing in mind. Anyway, you've got your coconut, and you're looking at the outer side of it. That represents our conventional earth. Now, make a hole in the part known as the eyes, and make another hole in the part right opposite the eyes. You can liken these to the North and South Poles. You should make the hole about an inch in diameter and let out all the milk. Then you have the outer hard shell, which is the crust of the earth, and inside you have the white flesh of the coconut, which represents the inner world surface. Right in the middle of the coconut, you have to somehow fix a flashlight bulb to represent the ever-burning inner sun. Now, the hard shell, which is the crust, and the softer inner side, which provides footing for inner worlders, provides also the source of gravity, which keeps people's feet down on the upper surface and the feet down on the inner surface. There is no evidence whatever that the inner surface of the earth is molten gas or molten iron or molten rock or molten anything else. That has just been a supposition of scientists who have made many other false suppositions, like when they said that if a man traveled at more than 30 miles an hour, his lungs would burst with the air pressure. And like when they said that it would be impossible for any spaceship to land on the moon because it would sink right into the impalpable dust. Oh no, scientists are merely guessers with a university education. Often they are worse guessers than people without a university education, because scientists are taught that if this person or that person says a thing is impossible, then it is indeed impossible. And so instead of being taught to think, they are just being taught to think that author so-and-so is infallible. And if he says a thing is impossible, then indeed it is. I believe that people inside the earth are very, very highly evolved people indeed, who are remnants from Lemuria, Mu, Atlantis, and many even older civilizations. The earth has been racked by cataclysms, storms, meteors, and all the rest of it, and often people on the surface have been decimated. Yet inside, life goes on serenely, untroubled by things that are happening outside. And so, spirituality and scientific knowledge has progressed. You may not be aware that the Chileans, who have a great interest in the South Pole areas, have photographed UFOs rising out of that territory. Most interesting pictures were taken by a geophysical team of Chilean scientists. Unfortunately, under considerable pressure, those photographs were turned over to the USA authorities, and that's the last that has been heard of them. UFOs are of different types, but one type comes from inside the earth. And there are many UFOs seen nowadays because the inner people are greatly worried by the atomic explosions taking part on the outer surface of the earth. After all, if the explosion is big enough, then perhaps the crust of the earth will be cracked, even worse than it is at present, and the whole earth will perish. That is why the inner people are so concerned, why they are trying to control atomic research on this world. Have you really studied the journeys of explorers who claim they have been to the North or South Pole? Without any exception, they report that they found the temperature rising. As they traveled north, they found more open seas than they expected. They found many things which were completely at variance with the North or South Pole theory, where things got colder and colder as the poles were approached. Actually, the poles do not exist except as some mythical symbol up in the air, perhaps in the center of the opening leading into the earth. The aurora borealis could easily be the reflections from the inner sun when conditions are suitable, or they could even be radiations from the nuclear life within your world. But someone is sure to say, "All this is impossible. Of course there's no hole leading into the earth. The idea is absurd. It's ridiculous." If there was a whacking great hole at the North Pole and another one at the South Pole, then obviously air pilots would have seen them. Astronauts would have seen the holes, and in fact anyone looking would be able to see right through the earth, just the same as one can see daylight through the other end of a blown egg. No, someone is sure to say this author has gone around the bend at last, if he didn't go around years ago. That attitude is all wrong, you know? It shows that the person doesn't know the facts. How many of you have been to the North Pole? How many of you have been to the South Pole? How many of you know climatic conditions there? What about cloud coverage, for example? What about viewing conditions? No, critical reader, I haven't gone round the bend. You have if you think that all this is impossible. If you think all this is impossible, then you are not merely round the bend. You are cantering along the home straight, which is a darn sight worse. Think how, in well-populated areas, great caves have remained hidden for hundreds or thousands of years. Look at the cave in which the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. That cave was only found completely by accident. Look at Canada. Great areas of Quebec have not even been explored. And supposing a plane flew over certain of these areas in Quebec, which would be covered with ice most of the year, then photographs might show reflections precisely as it should show reflections from snow and ice. Or the photographs may show dark patches precisely as they could show dark patches of snow and ice. Ice can be of many different colors, you know. It's not all white and tinsely like you put on Christmas trees. You can even get red snow in certain areas. I know that because I've seen it. But the whole point is that a photograph taken over the approximate location of the North or South Pole might show strange shadows. But if people had no reason to investigate the shadows, then they wouldn't go there and probe, would they? It takes a lot of money to mount an expedition to the mythical North Pole or the equally mythical South Pole. It takes a lot of money. It takes a special breed of man. It takes a lot of backup supplies. And it takes a big bank account to pay the insurance. But back to Canada. Many, many areas in the Northern Territories have not been explored. Some areas have never even been seen by humans. How do you know what holes there are in the Northern Territories when no one has been there? It's stupid to say these things are impossible until you know all the facts. Until you are an expert in photography, until you are an expert in geology. think of astronauts or cosmonauts or whatever the current term for them is. Well, then they are taking off and are reasonably close to the Earth. Presumably, they have something else to do besides look for a hole where the North or South Pole should be. And in the polar regions, the view is often horribly unsatisfactory. Fogs, snowstorms, confusing reflections from snow and ice and water. It's worth noticing also that when astronauts are in orbit, they have specific tasks to do, taking a peep at the Russians, taking an even harder look at the Chinese. Are there telltale shadows which indicate that silos have been erected, which could be the starting point of intercontinental ballistic missiles? And if so, in which direction are the silos inclined? By knowing things like this, the Americans can tell if the warlords of Peking have rockets aimed at New York or Los Angeles or somewhere else. They have to take into account the degree of inclination and the rotation of the Earth so that they can then forecast to within just a few miles the target area of the ICBMs. The Americans are much more interested in knowing what the Russians, the Poles, the Chinese, and the Czechs are doing than finding out something about a hole in the Earth. Some of the Americans, for instance, would be more interested in checking a hole in the head than a hole in the earth. So, you can take it that unless there are very special conditions and very special circumstances, these particular openings in the earth would not be photographed. And as for thinking that you could look in one end and see out through the other, just as you would through a straight railway tunnel, well, that is a crazy idea. You couldn't do it. Think of a railway tunnel absolutely dead straight. You look in one end, and if you are very, very careful, you might possibly see a little dot of light at the other end, and that railway tunnel may be not even half a mile long. Well, if we were looking through a hole in the earth, we would have to look at something which was nearly 8,000 miles long. That is, the tunnel through which you would be looking through the earth. It would be so long that you just wouldn't see any light at the other end. Not only that, but even if you had such good sight that you could see all the way through and distinguish a small hole, then you would still be looking at darkness because, unless the sun was opposite, you would have no light reflection, would you? If you're going to deny the possibility of there being a hollow earth, then you're just as bad as the people who think that the world is flat. In passing, I wonder how the Flat Earth Society in London, England, explains some of the astronauts' photographs now. As far as I am aware, there is still a society in England who swear on a stack of comics, they must be comics, that the world is flat and all the photographs have been faked. I read something about it and I had a good laugh. I wish I could remember where I read the article. Anyway, if you're not sure, why not keep an open mind? Then you won't be caught short when the proof is forthcoming. There's another thing you have to consider. The governments of the world, or rather the governments of the superpowers, are nearly killing themselves to hush up everything about UFOs. Why? Millions of people have seen UFOs. I was reading an article only yesterday in which it was said that statistics prove that 15 million Americans have seen UFOs. So if 15 million in one country alone have seen them, then it's a sure thing that there must be something like UFOs. Argentina, Chile, and other sensible countries acknowledge the existence of UFOs. They don't necessarily understand what they are or why they are, but they acknowledge them, and that's a big step forward. The governments hush up and conceal all the truth about UFOs now. Supposing the American government, for example, had photographs of UFOs entering or leaving the Earth, supposing they had definite proof that the Earth was hollow and that there was a high civilization within, then quite without a doubt, the governments would try to conceal knowledge of the truth, or people would panic. They'd start looting, commit suicide, do all the strange things that humans do when they panic. We've only to remember the Orson Welles Raiders from Mars radio broadcast of a few years ago, when Americans really did most thoroughly panic in spite of being told by the announcers that it was only a play. So, the governments conceal the truth because they're afraid of panic. But perhaps in the not-too-distant future, they will have to admit the truth being that there is a hollow Earth and a highly intelligent race within that hollow Earth, and that one form of UFO comes from inside the hollow Earth. Mind you, there is more than one type of UFO. One type comes from outer space, another type comes from inner space, or, that is, the inner side of the Earth. But again, supposing you say, I still say this fellow's crazy, because there wouldn't be any room for a civilization inside the Earth. Well, sir, or madam, as the case may be, that implies that you haven't done your homework. Let's have a look at some figures. I'm not going to quote exact figures, or someone's sure to say, oh, look at him, now we know that he's a fraud, he's 6 inches short in the diameter of the world. Oh yes, loving reader, people do write and say such things, and they think themselves very clever. But anyway, let's have a look at some rough figures. Now, the diameter of the Earth is roughly 7,927 miles. Now, supposing we say, we've got to give some figures, don't we? We say that the thickness of the crust of the Earth on the Earth's side and the thickness of the soil side of the inner Earth comes to 800 miles. Well, if you add those two 800s together, you get 1,600. And if you subtract that from 7,927, you get 6,327 miles. That, then, we can say, is very, very approximately the diameter of the world inside this world. That means that the inner world, again, roughly, is 2.9 times larger than the moon, so that if somehow you could get the moon inside the Earth, the poor wretched thing would rattle around like the pea inside a referee's whistle. The diameter of the moon, remember, is roughly 2,160 miles, and the estimated diameter of the world inside this Earth is, we decided, 6,327 miles. So now, you do some arithmetic for a change. I'm right, aren't I? Another point of interest is this. Only an eighth of the surface of the world is land. 7/8 is water. Seas, ocean, lakes, and all that. So it could easily be that there is more land inside the world than outside. And if there is more land inside, then there could be more people inside. Or if they regularly take the pill, they may have bread for quality rather than quantity. I believe all this, you know. I have believed it for years, and I've studied it very, very thoroughly. I have read all I could about it, and if you do the same, then, without a doubt, you'll come to the same conclusion that I have, which is that there is another world inside this Earth of ours, that it is 2.9 times the size of the moon, and that it is populated by a very intelligent race. Another thing of interest is this. Look at all the explorers who have been to the pole. None of them has ever proved that he got there. Think of Admiral Parry, think of Wilkinson, Amundsen, Shackleton, Scott, etc., etc. All these men who, in theory, went there by water or went there on foot or who flew to the area, not one of them ever truly, demonstrably proved that he had reached the pole itself. I believe they couldn't, because the pole is a remote area somewhere in space above the surface, and as has been proved, the location varies quite a lot. And so there it is. If you are interested, don't write to me about it, because I've said all I'm going to say about it. Oh yes, I know a lot more. I know a great deal more than I've written. But just trot along to a really good bookstore and buy some books on the Hollow Earth. It is kinder to the author to buy than to read it in the public library, because the poor wretched author has to live, and he can't live when people just read stuff for free. He depends upon his royalties. After all, if it's worth reading, it's worth paying for. End of chapter 2.